good to go. All right. Well, you won't get much difference if you're talking about brain dead, so get ready here. All right. I'm excited I get to use my new Bible this morning. This thing is really something else. Not only can you preach with it, but you get a workout while you're using it. Work out your biceps, you try, you know, everything. It's awesome. It's great.
It's an NIV.
Well, does it really matter? They're all the same, brother. All right. I like the decorations. It's kind of neat. I feel like saying, "Welcome to the Church of the Wooden Spheres." Yeah. That'd bring in more people, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah. The Wooden Sphere Church. Yeah. Kind of like Substance Church and Renovation Church and all that stuff. Just put church on it and their people will come. All right. Let's start by turning to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Usually when I get up here, I show my nerves in one way or another. Either my legs are shaking, I have dry mouth, and I got both this morning. So anyways, so bear with me. This is kind of interesting. But I read this verse the other day, and it's a verse we all know well. And just kind of interesting reading through verses that we use on a regular basis. If you go out on the streets or you're street preaching or you're witnessing to people at work, we've heard testimonies of that this morning already, of prayer requests of people doing those very things. And to go through these verses sometimes we start, you know, we keep quoting them because we just know them. And we don't really take a time to sit down and read through them and really, boy, what does that mean? You know, to go over it again and once, go over it, keep going over it in our minds and asking us, you know, what else can I learn from this verse? Because we quote it so many times, we think there's one meaning to it and that's it. But, I saw something here, and if it bores you to death, just kind of sleep with your eyes open or something. But verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. It's true, it's real, it's powerful, it's living. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless the preaching of it this morning. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we all know that no matter what we do, no matter how good we are as people, I mean, we could live by every letter of the law, we could live and do everything right, which none of us do, but we could think that in our own minds that we're really righteous and that we're really good and that and we never come to the point and but the Bible says for all have sinned. And until we come to that point in our lives, there's no way salvation can come to your heart. You have to realize that you're a sinner. And this verse says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So no matter how good you are, you can't get to heaven. You can do everything right and perfect and get right up to the doors of heaven and be stopped because you're a sinner. And until you realize that, you cannot see the glory of God. So I was reading this verse and I go, well, what is the glory of God? What exactly is a person missing out on if we just talk about the glory of God? What is it? What's the glory of God? What am I missing out on? So let's take a trip through the Word of God here this morning, turn to Scripture a lot, and let's see what the Bible says about the glory of God. All right? First of all, let's go to Proverbs chapter 25. Nice about this Bible too is I get a breeze off it when I turn the pages. Keeps me cool. Each page has its own zip code. All right. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter." Glory of God is to conceal a thing. You know, all of us read the Bible. I'm sure most of us have read the Bible at least one time or not. If you haven't, you should. You've read some of the Bible. You maybe read some verses and just kind of said, "Well, what does that mean?" You know, and you're just kind of, you know. But God conceals things. It's not, this isn't a book that you just read like a novel and then toss it off to the side. It's to say, okay, I've read it. What's the big deal? I get a response like that from a lot of people that aren't saved. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them to really start revealing things to them and showing them things. And once you start seeing how the Bible fits together and you read it more and read it more and see how it comes together, it makes you, your desire to want to read it more. And you get this, the Holy Spirit starts speaking to your heart and showing you things, and it's really a blessing. But here it says the glory of God is to conceal a matter, conceal a thing, and the glory of kings is to search out a matter. Let's turn over to Revelation 15. Revelation chapter 15. And verse 8 says, "And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled." And what I got, my first point here is the glory of God is a display of God's secrecy. There's a lot of things in the Bible. It's a living, like I mentioned before, it's a living book. You can read it over and over again, and you always get something new out of it. It's such a blessing. There's a couple people in here, I'll read something and I'll be able to go up to them after service and say, look, how many times have we read this verse and look what God showed me today? You know, and that's a blessing. That shows that we have a not only do we have a living book, we have a living God that goes with it. And he shows us things and he's secret. He doesn't just reveal everything at once. We'd be overwhelmed. Our heads would explode. You know, we'd just be like, wow, you know, that's amazing. But he likes to just kind of lead us along with some breadcrumbs. Here, check this out. Okay, now go over here, you know. Oh, wow. Oh, hey, look how this runs together. Hey, look how that works. And it's just a blessing to read the Bible and see these things. And then and there's all kinds of things in nature and things that just, it's just a picture of what we're going to experience once we get to heaven. It's the glory of God is a display of God's secrecy. We can't know everything about God. It says in the end of the book of John that if all the books were written of the things that Christ did, the world would not be able to contain the books. So, you know, we can't even handle the one book He's given us. He said, this is going to be enough for you for a lifetime. And then some. So let's worry about this right now. And so the first one is, it's a display of God's secrecy. In Isaiah 40, chapter 40, verse 22, it says, "It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and it spreadeth out as a tent to dwell in." You know how sometimes you go, how many of you have been camping? Been out camping in a tent? Real camping? A tent? Laying on the ground, wake up with a sore back, you know, yeah, that kind of thing. And you're wondering why you did it. And you get the lantern inside the tent, and you walk outside the tent, you can see figures inside of it, people moving around, you're not sure exactly what's going on, and you see this going on, and you're like, what in the world? You know, there's certain ways things are happening here, but it's got a veil over it. You can't see what's actually going on. And I just picture that's the way God works sometimes. He just kind of, you know, it talks in Romans 1 how everybody has a knowledge of God in their hearts, and as long as they follow that knowledge, He'll lead them on. He'll keep them going. And that's the way it is. And, you know, it's just like seeing somebody in a tent, something going on. You're like, I'm not sure what's going on there, but I want to find out. And then, you know, you zip open the tent and you can see what's going on. Sometimes you wish you hadn't unzipped the tent. But God is, it's the glory of God is, display of God's secrecy. The second thing, let's go over to Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm 19, verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." You ever, well, the other night, Friday night, we were sitting at eating supper, and I looked out the window, out the kitchen window, and saw the sunset. Bright orange, you know, and purple and gold, and then eventually it turned deep red, and just it was just beautiful. And you think about that, and it's just a picture of what God's got. And I wrote down the glory of God as a display of God's beauty. He just spoke it into existence. It's just a display. It's not even all we can imagine it's going to be when we get to heaven one day and we get to see all that glory at once. It's going to be like, wow. But we get this. You ever see that? Well, some of you guys, you know, from Florida. I've been down to Florida. I've been out in the sea and when I was in the Navy and to see the sunset on the ocean. Or to look up in the sky when there's no lights impeding your vision and seeing all the stars. It's like, wow. We were out at the golf course last night. And we went out, me and Abel and Katie and Jake went out there and we were standing on the practice green. And I was lining up a putt. And no, I wasn't. There was no light and the stars were just like, whoa. It's just unreal. Millions of stars and just unbelievable. And Jake's out there naming all these constellations and everything. Like, whoa. You know, but it's just, and he just spoke it, you know, like Pastor mentioned, and he made the stars too. That was just an afterthought. Well, let's throw some stars out there. He kind of reached in his pocket and there we go. All right. You know, just unreal. But you look up there and you're like, there's so much beyond that that we can't even see. There's a galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy. It's 2.5 million years away from here it would take to get there. And it's like, that's amazing. But that galaxy, when you look at it in a telescope, is about that big. And it's like 10 times the size of this galaxy. That's unbelievable. That's the glory of God. And He just spoke it into existence. That didn't come out of a mud puddle. Yeah. Explain that. That's just unbelievable. But the glory of God. Turn over a couple pages to Psalm 27. 27 verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Not only the beauty in nature, not only is it a display of the beauty, of God's beauty in nature, but how about the Word of God? How wonderful God is. How beautiful He is. How beautiful He can take a life that was in sin and live in total debauchery and take it and make it a beautiful thing through His blood and change that life forever, and one day it gets to go to spend eternity in heaven. What a blessed thing. What a wonderful thing that's going to be. Man, living. It's going to be a great day. When we see the glory of God as a display of His secrecy, and we see the glory of God as a display of God's beauty, not only in nature, but the Word of God. I challenge you today, as Pastor did in Sunday school, read the Word of God. Continue to read it. Not just read it to say, okay, I did my daily reading. Read it slow. Get something out of it. Start, and all of a sudden, things will start coming together. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. Okay, let's turn over to John chapter 11. You see, the glory of God is a display of God's secrecy and a display of God's beauty. Number three, we're going to see the glory of God is a display of God's power. God's power. I'm going to read a few verses in this chapter. All familiar with this story of Lazarus dying and Christ raising him from the dead. Verse 4, he had just heard that Lazarus had died. Jesus had heard that Lazarus died. He said, when Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And we see, and He said, don't worry, this is going to take care of itself. This is all at the end of all this. It's going to be to the glory of God. And it goes on, the disciples didn't quite understand what He was talking about. But verse 17 is kind of a side note. says, you know, they go through this conversation between him and the disciples, and they don't quite get what's going on. But verse 17, it says, then when Jesus came, I read those four words, and I was just like, I remember when Jesus came into my life. You know, you read the man that was by the pool of Bethesda, and he'd been there for, man, I can't remember how many years, like 60 years, 70 years, trying to get into the pool and be healed. And then it says, and then Jesus came. You know, I read those four words, and it's like, man, what powerful words that is. We all, everyone in here, from what I can tell, everyone has accepted Christ. Everyone is born again. There may be somebody here that's not. It doesn't matter how bad of a life you've lived. It doesn't matter where you've been in your life, or you say, well, I'm just not good enough. God wouldn't have time for me. You wouldn't be here this morning if you didn't think you had a chance. All right? But let Jesus show up and show you what He can do in your life. He can change your life. And it never ceases to amaze me. He always seems to show up when you've reached the end of your way. When you've reached the end of your rope. Reached the end of the world's ways of getting happiness and peace and contentment. And then Christ shows up. Okay, you ready to try this? You ready to accept what I have for you? Then Jesus came. And then we look down in verse 40. And Martha's saying, oh, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And I know. He's just kind of nagging on him a little bit there. And we go down to verse 40 in chapter 11. And he says, Jesus saying unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And we go on to see that Christ just rolled the stone away. He said that just before that verse. Roll away the stone. Well, he stinketh. Well, yeah. Yeah, he stinks. But we're about to see the glory of God. And then he prayed to the Father and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus out of the grave. And he's bound hand and foot. Veil over his face. And we got to see the glory of God. All the people, I can't imagine their faces when they saw this happen. It's like, here comes his body out. And he was bound hand and foot, so how did he, I don't know if he walked out. Maybe he just levitated. Who knows? But here he comes out of the grave. It would have been a shock either way. They're just sitting there going, whoa. And he goes on to say that many believed after this. And he said, but then in verse 44, And he said, and he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot, with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Just like when he got saved. Just like when he got saved. Lord, I'm tired of this sinful life. I'm bound up. I can't fight this alone. I can't defeat it on my own. I need you to defeat it for me. I need you to come into my life and set me free. And he goes, loose him and let him go. Wow, what a day that was, huh? We get to see the glory of God. Every one of you, on the day you got saved, you got to see the glory of God. You got to see the glory of God and see a display of His power. What a blessed day that was. Number four, let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 3 again, where we started. Romans 5. Romans 3, I'll just quote that verse again. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. We all had to come to that conclusion one day in our lives that I'm a sinner. I'm nothing more than a sinner. No matter how good I've been, no matter how much money I have in the bank, no matter how successful I've been in my life, I'm a sinner. I'm nothing more than that. And that's when God can work. That's when Christ can work. And we're going to see here in a second, number four, the glory of God is a display of God's love. display of God's love. Turn over to chapter 5. You're probably there already. Starting verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I was telling you to read these verses over and over again. The ones that you quote on the street, the ones that you quote at doorsteps all the time, don't get in a rut. Read these verses and realize what they mean. It's a blessing. Verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't righteous. We weren't even good. We were sinners. Somebody that thinks they're high and mighty and better than everybody else and full of pride, and Christ didn't come to die for them. The righteous had to become a sinner. The good had to become a sinner before they can realize that He died for them. That's the way it works. He didn't come, He said that, the physician, I didn't come to heal those who don't need a doctor. I came to heal those who need one, who realize they need one. He didn't come for the righteous. That's how, isn't that wonderful? We were sinners. We had no way of getting to heaven. And Christ died for us. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to come and die on the cross for us, but He did. That's amazing. What a verse that is. Then in verse 1 and 2 of that same chapter, therefore, being justified by faith, we have grace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. One day we get to see our Savior face to face. Isn't that going to be something? Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ who died for me? Who cares about a mansion? Who cares about streets of gold and walls of jasper and pearl? We'd see Christ. You look Him in His eyes, and then you see His hands are pierced. Man, that's going to be a day. That's going to be the glory of God. We'll get to see our Savior face to face. That's amazing. That's going to be a great day. Number 5, let's go over to Romans chapter 15. Glory of God is display of God's secrecy. It's a display of God's beauty and a display of God's power, display of God's love. He came and died on the cross. God loved the world so much He sent His Son to die on the cross. Unbelievable. It's an amazing thing, display of God's love. Now that you're saved, the glory of God is a display of God's order. He gives us a way. He says, now that I've done for you this wonderful thing, I've died for you and you've accepted me as your Savior and you can come and spend eternity with me one day in heaven. Now I got a few things for you to do while you're here on earth. And it says in Romans 15, verse 7, is wherefore receive ye one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. You know, I hear a lot of ridicule and I hear a lot of backbiting and I hear a lot of backstabbing in churches and I hear a lot of people talking behind people's back. And you know what? They're a brother and sister in Christ. We need to receive those people, everybody, the same way Christ received us. We all look different. We all act different. We all come from different backgrounds, but God received us. It didn't matter whether we're Norwegian or Swedish or Polish or, you know, whatever. Big, bald, with hair, without, you know, what, you know, He didn't care. He received us all. Why do we sit here and backstab each other? Why do we talk about each other behind their backs? Why do we Why do we do those things? We can bring glory to God. He says, hey, you want to bring glory to God? Why don't you talk about the receive the brethren as I received you? Willingly, without any ropes or bars or limitations. You came to me and I received you. You accepted me, I received you. Somebody comes into this church and they're a brother in Christ. Receive them in. Let them in. There's too many. Some churches have stipulations.
Well, you weren't baptized the correct way.
Really? Really? Come on. Well, what church did you come from? And they say, like, you sit over there. You know, we got a section just for you right over there. You know, no, we receive them in. Say, welcome. Come in and have fellowship with your fellows, brothers and sisters in Christ. Just like Christ received us. No boundaries, no limitations. It was awesome. It was great. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, another stipulation, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It's a sad day in our world. Now, I see it at work all the time. When, you know, most of the guys in here that have jobs and work, you know, not like Pastor, he doesn't have a job, but a real job, you know. Do all to the glory of God. You know, it's a sad day we live in when somebody at work exceeds expectations. And they go beyond what they're supposed to do. They're just doing their work because you're supposed to do your work. And you're supposed to want to do more. And then you get a promotion and everybody looks at you and say, oh, you know, he's sucking up to the boss, huh? Oh, you're one of those guys, huh? You know, he's doing whatever he can to get the boss's eyes. No, I know who those guys are. But you're doing it without that even in mind. You're doing it because that's what God would want you to do. And you're doing it for His glory. Hey, God's given me the ability. He's given me a body that I can move and I can work and do this job. Why not do it for His glory? He can take that away at any second. And He's going to do the same to those guys that are, you know, talking about you getting promoted and, you know, oh, yeah, you're just a bad guy because you want to do your job right. Really? Is that the reason? That's an amazing thing. You know, even the inmates at work, they were working for me and they'll be doing their job and they'll come up to me and say, hey, you know, they'll be talking to me and one guy, he's just a go-getter. He's going around doing all these work and doing these things and they call him a junior CO. You know, a junior correctional officer. You know, like he's trying to play the boss behind my back. I'm just like, no, he's just doing a good job. What boss wouldn't want somebody like that on their job, working for him? Well, there's a guy that's exceeding expectation. I never have to wonder what he's doing. I never have to supervise him. I never have to do anything because I know he's going to do it and get it done. Why wouldn't you want that on your crew? Oh, no, he just wants the promotion. We know who's going to get the next promotion. Yeah, not you. Right, Lance, and nagging, complaining. Whatever you do, if you eat, do it to the glory of God. That's that. You go, maybe, yeah, right. Praise God. Man, those potatoes were good yesterday. Whoa, bacon and cheese. Boy, glory to God. You can eat that every day. Anyways, 1 Corinthians 11:7 says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God. But the woman is the glory of the man." It matters to God how you look. How you cut your hair. It matters to God. It's His glory. You're representing Him. You're in His image. Take a shower. Comb your hair. Look presentable. Iron your clothes. Put on deodorant, please. It matters. You're in His image. It brings glory to Him. You can do your job at work the best you can and go beyond what the boss wants you to do, but if you look like a slob, He's not going to put you on a pedestal to represent the company. It's all a package deal, and it's all for the glory of God. It's not about us. It's about Him. So the glory of God is a display of God's order. He has a way of doing things. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." Those two words are big. They're His promises, and we're supposed to live these promises out to His glory. Not because we're going to get attention for it. Not because we're going to get our name mentioned from the pulpit for all that we do. But we're doing it because what all He did for us. That's it. He gave His life for us. Everything we should do, eat, drink, work, comb our hair, press our clothes, the way we look, should all be to His glory because of what He did for us. Every breath we take, everything, every step we take, everything we do, any money that we make should all be for His glory because He gave us the abilities and what He did for us. He gave His life for us. We need to give it for Him. So number five is glory of God is a display of God's order. Number six, let's go over to, let's see, where are we going to go? Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. Starting in verse 10. "And He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem descending from heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And and had a wall great and high, and the 12 gates, at the gates 12 angels and names written thereon." I've got to focus my glasses here, I'm sorry. Let's take them off. "Which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them names of 12 apostles of the Lamb." Go down to verse 18. "And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third another pretty stone, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, and the seventh chrysolite, and the eighth beryl, and the ninth a topaz, and the tenth another pretty stone, and the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl." That's a big clam. "And the street of the city was pure gold, and it was were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that which were saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it." Number six, the glory of God is a display of God's eternal purpose. Can't you wait to see that city? What a beautiful place that's going to be. Unbelievable. We just walk around like the first time you ever walked into the Mall of America. Unbelievable. And man made that. This place is going to be unbelievable. We can't even imagine. Just another part of God's secrecy. You know, He's the best architect that ever came. Sorry, Brother Dave, but He's the best construction man of of everything. You know, you read that and you're just like, you can't even grasp it in your mind what it's going to look like. Then you go over to Philippians. What's God's eternal purpose? The glory of God is His eternal purpose. What is His purpose for all this? Go over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He made this city for His Son to sit in, because the Son is His glory. He's the light. He goes, bow your knee to Him. And He's going to sit in that city. That's God's eternal purpose. What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to glorify the Son. We're going to glorify the Savior. We're going to bring all glory and reverence to Him, because He's worthy. All the rewards and crowns that we get, we're going to throw at His. We said, we wouldn't be able to get this reward if it wasn't for You. Because of You. And we get to walk into this glorious city, all to reverence and bring glory to God through praise to His Son and what He did for us. What a day that's going to be. I hope it's today. That's neat. Let Caleb and them have their honeymoon. And then God can come, right? But what a better honeymoon that would be. In a jet and get raptured out, that'd be something else, wouldn't it? Woohoo! Just keep going up. But one day, go back to that verse you quoted earlier, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We get to take a pure, spotless, incorruptible word and tell people about a pure, spotless Savior, so that one day we can walk into a pure, spotless, incorruptible city and give praise to a pure, spotless Lamb of God, all for His glory. That's the glory of God. That's the glory of God. But then we go back to the initial question, what exactly am I going to miss? What am I going to be missing? What's the glory of God? Let's go back to number one. We're going to go through this all again, just to make sure you get it right. Number one, the glory of God is a display of God's secrecy. What are you going to be missing? You're going to miss meeting Jesus Christ, the Word. All the secrets of the Word of God, when we see Him face to face, can be like, whoa, that's what you meant. Whoa, that's what that verse, wow, that's awesome. We get to meet the Word Himself. All the secrecy is going to be gone. And we get the glory in that for eternity. Number two, the glory of God is a display of God's beauty. We get to meet Jesus, the Creator. We get to see, well, how did you make the northern light? Let me see the northern lights. Or how did you make the sunset, that color? How did it work? You know, what? Can you explain it to me? What were you thinking when you made this? You know, what were you thinking when you made Jeff Peterson? You know, what were you thinking, you know? But we get to meet Jesus, the Creator. Sorry, Jeff. Number three, the glory of God is a display of God's power. We get to meet Jesus, the Victor. The Victor. He had power over sin, over death, over hell, and over the devil. We get to meet Jesus, the Victor. He did all that for us. And He tells us we can have the same victory in our lives, but we get to meet the One who did it, made it through, and without Him we wouldn't be able to have salvation. We won't be able to be in heaven. We won't be able to be in the presence of the glory of God if it wasn't for Him. We get to meet the victor, Jesus the victor. Number four, display of the glory of God is a display of God's love. We get to meet Jesus the Savior. He saved my soul. All those times will be gone. All those memories and regrets of the way I used to live will be gone. I get to see Jesus face to face and praise Him for being my Savior. Number five, the glory of God is a display of God's order. We get to meet Jesus, the reason. Why do we wear our clothes a certain way? Or why do we cut our hair? Why do we do our actions? Why do we work so hard? Because of Him. That's the only reason. That's the only thing we have. That's the only reason we have to live the way we do and do the things we do is because of Christ and what He did for us. We get to meet Jesus, the reason. And number six, the glory of God is a display of God's eternal purpose. We get to meet Jesus, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. For all eternity, we can see all the things that you've been taught for 20 plus years that pastor's been here, all the things you've learned from reading the Word of God and seeing them all come true before your very eyes. And you get to relish in that for all eternity. You're in the presence of God Almighty for all eternity. And you get to see that and worship it and experience it for real. It's all about Christ. It's all about Jesus Christ and what He did. If you're here today and you're a sinner, you choose to stay that way and live that way, you never get to see that. Any of that. All you get to hear is, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting. I never knew you. But today you have an opportunity to change that. You can realize that you're not righteous. You're not good. You're nothing more than a sinner. And I don't say that looking down at you, condescending in any way. You have to get to that point before you can accept Christ. Before you realize that you need a Savior. You have to be a sinner. So I challenge you today to look at your hearts. If you're not saved, if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, today is the day. Today may be your last chance. You don't know that. You don't know that. Today, when you go to work tomorrow, do it for the glory of God. It's hard to focus a lot of times because you're surrounded by a bunch of worldly jerks. Seriously. You hear the cussing, you hear the bad stories, you hear the comments, and you hear the, you know, people calling you names for doing a good job. You know, and you hear all that, and it wears on you. It wears on you after a while. But take a time and go off to the side and refocus and say, this is for God. This is for Christ and what He did for me. That's why I'm here. He's given me this ability. He's given me this job for a reason. Those people at Home Depot probably would have never heard the Word of God, John. You're there for a reason. There's people at the Ramsey County Correctional Facility that'll never hear the Word of God, but He put me there for a reason. Wherever you work, whatever you do, wherever you go to eat, how about handing them a tract? Do something for the glory of God. Pray for your meal. A lot of people are watching. That may be just something to trigger something in somebody's heart and lead them in the right direction. It's all for the glory of God. All for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for this opportunity to preach Your Word. And Lord, I just pray that You spoke to somebody's heart. Lord, I thank You for this opportunity. And Lord, Your Word is so precious and so pure and so right. Lord, help us each day to refocus and realize that everything we do is for Your honor and Your glory. And Lord, just if there's someone here today that's not saved, that needs You as their Savior, Lord, I pray that today would be the day. I pray that they would drop their pride and realize that God wants to save. He wants to be their Savior. And Lord, I just thank you again for saving me. Bless this time of invitation. Thank you. In your name, amen.
Let's remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed here for a couple minutes. Like Brother Todd said, recognize most of the faces here. Maybe we're preaching to a congregation of saints this morning, all saved. So a lot in that sermon to be had. Wonder how much glory you're missing out on. See somebody, know somebody who has a real and palatable joy in Jesus Christ, or a heart for service for Jesus Christ. Seems to have a song in the heart and seems to be able to do things with a smile on their face, even when they don't feel like it or when they're sick. What is it that they have of the glory of God that you don't? Maybe you haven't considered, contemplated, tried to develop these things like that guy or that lady. The Lord spoke to your heart this morning. Hope you'll come. Let's turn to number 204 and look this way. Sing a couple of stanzas. Appreciate Brother Todd preaching this morning. Number 204.
Thank you.
was pretty dingy and dark and dirty, but it's going to get better. The world's not going to get better, but your situation is going to be significantly improved one day soon. Amen? Let's be dismissed in prayer this morning. We'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock for service. If you can get here a little early, we'll be praying, the ladies and the men, separate, as we started a few months back. 5:30, 30 minutes early. I hope you guys can stay around and come back and worship with us tonight, you Pensacola people. Come back. Don't leave. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we appreciate friends and family that have come into town, and we're glad to have their fellowship. They contribute a lot to our services. Appreciate the special and glad for the event that brought us all together here. And one thing to remember is none of us would have anything in common except for Jesus Christ. So we've come here to you this morning, wanted to glorify you through your Son. We ask that you would help us do that this day. Again, Father, pray for the travelers, those that are traveling now and those that will be soon. We pray that you'll bless us, get us back tonight, give us a good spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, good afternoon, everyone.